nanakyanitihaseshu varnayam asatatvavi. Then he described the occupational duties of different orders and statuses of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth. So he's just mentioning all these different dharmas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, to strengthen what has already been said from early on, and how these are attained. So he proved that that's how they attained, by giving examples, citing instances from history. Okay. So Bhishma Dev gave such narrations for Maharaj Yudhishthira to the different questions. Text 29. Dharmam pravadatas tasya sakala pratyupastita yo yoginas chanda mrityur vanchitas tuttarayanah. While Bhishma Dev was describing occupation duties, the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere. This period is desired by mystics who die at their will. So Bhishma Dev actually desired such a time. So he was just waiting for this suitable moment to quit his material body. So as he was instructing, the opportunity for him to leave appeared, and he prepared to leave his body. Text 30. Tadopasamritya gira sahasranir vimukta sangam mana adipurushe krishne lasat pita pate chaturbhuje purastite milata drigvyadarayan. Thereupon, that man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings and who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men stopped speaking, and being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. So the Lord was also fulfilling his desire. So he withdrew, kept quiet, eyes without blinking, he was looking at the Lord. So then Prabhupada gives us how one can be absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Lord, and he confirms that citing Srimad Bhagavad Gita 8:5-10. And whoever at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. He who meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha Arjuna, is sure to reach me. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable and was always a person. He is luminous like the sun and being transcendental is beyond this material nature. One who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows and in full devotion engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhishma Dev also attained perfection by simply fixing his eyes upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and meditating on him, because he also had a long spontaneous love for the Lord. So Prabhupada says simple bhakti yoga is enough to bring about perfection. Therefore, the ardent desire of Bhishma Dev was to see the person of Lord Krishna, the most lovable object, and by the grace of the Lord, Sri Bhishma Dev had this opportunity at the last stage of his breathing. So, that's amazing. The Lord gave him there.
Bhishma, the Lord presented to himself to Bhishma Deva as 400 form. Only he could see that, and others, obviously Krishna was,
only he could see that. Because those who appear could see him showing the form, that Vyasadeva can see. Otherwise he wouldn't have written this. Alright, text 31. Vishuddhayadaranayahatashubhas tat ekshayaiva sugata yuddha shramaha nivritta sarvendriya vritti vibrahmas tustava janyam rishijan janardhanam. By pure meditation, looking at Lord Shri Krishna, he at once was freed from all material inauspiciousness and was relieved of all bodily pains caused by the arrow wounds. Thus all the external activities of his senses at once stopped, and he prayed transcendentally to the controller of all living beings while quitting his material body. So even then he is still praying to the Lord. No? He's praising the Lord at that situation, because now he is now freed from all material conception already. No, therefore he doesn't feel the pain or anything like that. And his senses are no more disturbing him. It's now purified. Everything he's focusing is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we concentrate on the Lord and do things, then every activity we do is not materially contaminated, it is purified. But if we have some material inclination and then we also want to do Krishna stuff, we are actually contaminated, we'll make mistakes. Prabhupada writes, in the presence of the sun, there's no possibility that darkness can stand. Therefore, just on the arrival of Lord Krishna, all material contamination was completely removed. And Bhishma Deva was thus able to be transcendentally situated by stopping the activities of the impure senses in collaboration with matter. The soul is originally pure, and so also the senses. By material contamination, the senses assume the role of imperfection and impurity. By revival or contact with the Supreme Pure Lord Krishna, the senses again become freed from material contaminations. The Lord is the controller and benefactor of all living beings. That is the verdict of all Vedas. He is the supreme entity and living entity amongst all the eternal living beings. Nityo nityananam chetana chetana eko bhavanam yo vidatiti kaman. So that's the verse. And he alone provides all necessities for all kinds of living beings. Thus he provides all facilities to fulfill the transcendent desires of his great devotee, Sri Bhishma Dev, who began to pray as follows. So just before he is about to give up his body, he is praising the Lord again. So most of us will be crying. But he is now, because he is no more in the bodily concept anymore. Now he is a perfect soul. So therefore he is able to do this. Based on the Lord's merciful glance, he is now freed from bodily conception. Shri Bhishma Vacha Iti Mati Upakalpita Vitrishna Bhagavati Satvata Gungave Vibhumni Swasukam Upagate Kochit Vihartum Prakriti Mupeyusi Yadbhava Pravaha. Bhishma Dev said, let me now invest my thinking, feeling and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Shri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created. And Prabhupada explains why he is thinking like that, or saying that, because he was in charge of the the whole throne before the sons of Satyavati and the grandchildren can come to help out. He had to manage so many things. And even with Duryodhana, he still had to manage so many problems. So therefore, his mind was always on so many subjects and so on. So now he feels he doesn't have to worry about such things anymore, because the Supreme Lord is in front of him and he's feeling so happy to just look at him. Alright, let's go to the next verse. It gives you how the Lord expands and so on. I'm not going to go into that. Text 33.
Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam ravikara gauravaram varam dadani vapu alakka kula vritananam bhajam vijaya sakirati rasumena vadya.
Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamala tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. Prabhupada explains how Krishna's attractive features are desired in the three worlds, upper, middle and lower planetary system. Because no one can ever witness such a body. Nobody has such a beautiful features as Krishna. Not in this universe at all. Because his body is not material, it's transcendental. So it's beyond material beauty. They broke something. And then Arjuna here is described by Vishnudeva as the conqueror and his intimate friend of Krishna. Because Krishna helped him to conquer. So therefore he calls him a conqueror. Vijaya Sake. The one who became victorious. Friend. The victorious friend. Vijaya Sake. So when they were fighting, Srila Prabhupada explains that Bhishmadeva is remembering that. He is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy, Arjuna, for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishmadev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijaya Sake, friend of Arjuna. Because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishmadev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. So, one of his rasa is chivalry. So, this is a secondary rasa, chivalry. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any one of the different rasas, humors, is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love imitating the damsels of Rajadham. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner. Because one who has relished conjugal humor with the Lord cannot be attached to the worldly conjugal rasa. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Okay. Text 34. Yuditu, let's see, the meter is a bit different. Yeah, I think I can still continue. Yuditu raga rajo vidum ravishva kacha lulita shramavari lankristasye mama nishita sarai vividyamana tvachi vilasa kvachistu krishna atma. Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
So Bhishma Dev actually, during the same time he is reciting Vishnu Sahasrama also, right? When does he?
I think not at this time. I mean, yeah, he's doing it, but not these portions are not here. Yeah. Why?
I just was asking. When did he exactly recite?
I do not know. Can find out, but I do not know when he actually. Maybe you can check the Mahabharata on that Santi Parva. It's part of the things he will be doing it. Okay, text 34. On the battlefield where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go on to Krishna. So he's remembering this feature and he's very attracted. And he cannot give up that sweetness that he experienced. So he's describing it very detailed. So the Lord is riding the chariot and, you know, you go fast, so the hair is all blowing. And he's remembering that with the color of the dust by the horses. So for most of us, we cannot see that the beauty, but it is said, no? But beauty can be seen in places if you know how to see beauty. So that's how Bhishma Dev is seeing it. So the face is decorated by all this perspiration coming out, you know. Because what he's seeing is he's seeing Krishna's effort to protect Arjuna. So it's making him feel so much ecstasy when he's remembering the affection for Arjuna. And Bhishma Dev was at the same time fighting Krishna, so all his arrows are also piercing Krishna's skin. And then it's interesting, it is like, even though the wounds were coming out, Srila Prabhupada, if you read, he describes it as like a lover biting one another, you know. So it's kind of funny, but that's how Bhishma Dev feels. Huh? Basically, his skin was not really pierced that bad because he's wearing an armor. Because it's shining brightly, you can read the. That means the arrows just pierce, but slightly, little bit. Yeah. Okay. And in one sense, Bhishma Dev also wasn't happy that he hurt the Lord. He feels he hurt the Lord. So, Prabhupada writes, it appears that Bhishma Dev is repenting the actions he committed against the person of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's body was not at all pained due to his transcendental existence. But that's how a devotee feels, you know, even though they are in this pastime, they feel that way. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, Bhishma Dev's piercing of the body of Lord Krishna is a sort of bewildering problem for the non-devotee atheist. But those who are devotees or liberated souls are not bewildered. Because it's not easy to understand how, because he's his spirit, he's transcendental, yet when he's firing the arrows, it seems that there are some marks and then blood is coming and so on. So it's not possible for us to understand. But this is the ability of Krishna. The Supreme Lord can do that to bewilder actually the non-devotees. Because they think he is a human. And so therefore he shows them, yeah, that's the way it is. I am a human in your eyes. Avajananti mahamuddha. They can't understand this. So therefore he allows them to see it that way. But devotees we understand clearly because we know he's Supreme Lord and he can exhibit such wonderful pastimes. It's amazing, but that's how he is. And then Bhishma Dev also was appreciating, as Prabhupada says, that he didn't, the Lord would not let Arjuna be hurt. He said, I don't care even if they say I break the vow, but I'm not going to let Bhishma Dev break the vow. Because Bhishma Dev made a vow to, when Duryodhana, after they were fighting, came and told Bhishma Dev that, you know, you didn't fight strongly because you loved them too much. You know? So then he said, I may take a vow to kill them. And he said 5 arrows, especially for killing them. Now, and then Krishna is the super soul. He knows immediately. So when Bhishma Dev makes a vow, he's going to do it. So he wanted to break his vow. So to break his vow, he is in the heart of Duryodhana. He made Duryodhana go and say, oh, so if you want to, you have 5 special arrows, then I'll keep it until tomorrow, in case you change your mind. So then Bhishma Dev gave the arrows to Duryodhana. So he took the arrows, and then previously Arjuna and Duryodhana, for some reason, Duryodhana promised Arjuna, whatever you want, I'll give you. He made a vow like that. So then Krishna told him, you go to Duryodhana and remind him that he promised you this, and you ask him for 5 arrows that he's hiding. So then Arjuna comes and says, I want to talk to you. Then Duryodhana says, okay, I know what you want. You want me to give the whole kingdom, everything, and reinstate you? I'll do that if you really want that. Arjuna said, no, we will fight you. But all I want is the 5 arrows that you have for Bhishma Dev. Then Duryodhana realized this is only person who knows is Krishna. So then he lives by his words. He gives the 5 arrows. Then he went to Bhishma Dev and said, Arjuna came and collected the 5 arrows from me. So then Bhishma Dev realized that and he said, I will make Krishna break his vow of not fighting. So then the next day they fought. Bhishma Dev cannot be stopped. So finally they told Krishna that, you know, Arjuna has to go and face him to stop him, you know. So when they came there, Bhishma Dev said, I'm going to do so that Krishna breaks his promise of not carrying a weapon. So he fights so amazingly that he broke and destroyed Arjuna's chariot. So then the Lord got, you know, angry with Bhishma Dev. He said, I promise I will not fight, but I will not let Arjuna be defeated. So he took the wheel and charged at Bhishma Dev. And that's what Bhishma Dev is remembering, that amazing ability of Krishna not to give up on his pure devotees. Yeah? Even though Bhishma was a pure devotee also, but he's taken the wrong side. So the Lord is showing that the side that he supports will always be superior or will win. So this is how Bhishma Dev is appreciating the Lord's attitude, you know? That he never left Arjuna alone. He promised him and he was always there. So therefore, he's so amazed by that. Okay, so yes.
Guruji, when Duryodhana was, he kept his promise of giving this, whatever Arjuna asked, then why didn't he give the kingdom when Pandavas returned back from exile? Why didn't he? Because that was a promise he made in the dice game, that was understanding there. After certain years of exile, when you come back, you get the kingdom. So it's a little contradictory to understand
Duryodhana
the nature of subject.
Duryodhana always thought that they broke, the Ajnanavas was broken earlier. It was, they didn't deserve to go back again for 13 years. Duryodhana's understanding was that
they didn't complete the exile.
He said that you guys broke the